starting at verse number 14. 2 Timothy 3:14. We're going to read down to the end of the chapter this morning. Notice what the Apostle Paul says to this young man. Now picture this in your mind's eye real quickly. Get a visual of what's going on. The Apostle Paul is an aged disciple. He's in prison. He's preparing for his departure. His departure is not that he is going to be released from prison, but he's going to be executed. And so he is writing things and putting things in order. And one of his proteges is a young man by the name of Timothy. And he writes to Timothy some things concerning the last events of his life. And then he gives Timothy instruction for when he's going to be gone. And he starts in verse number 14. He says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." What's he talking about? Verse 15. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures." Notice that. "Thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Verse 14, he tells him to continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Amen. May the Lord bless you this morning. I want to talk to you about God's original intent for his word. Again, America would not be confused if we just go back to the Bible. How many believe the Bible has every answer to every situation, every debate? Here's the foundation of America, the Word of God. Why did God even give us his Word? Why has God gone to supernatural strength to ensure that we have the Word of God? Because think about it, at 11:37 on a Sunday morning, if we did not have God's Word, what would we be doing right now? We may not even be here, but if we were here, what would you be receiving right now? You'd be receiving the Reader's Digest, latest jokes. You'd be receiving my top 10 of things to do this week, 7 steps for this, but we would not be receiving God's Word. And when we realize what God, through Paul, spoke to Timothy, it was that the Word of God was going to be the foundation, that the Bible must be preeminent, that it settles all issues. This book is right. Me and you may struggle with issues, but when we open up God's Word, God's Word is the final authority. It settles the issue. It's right. It's eternal. It's infallible. It is inherent. There are no mistakes. It is going to live on when everything we see has melted away with the fervent heat. God's Word will stand. So that is why I would get alarmed when I can look at some of the leading scholars of our day and read the transcripts to some of their sermons. And their sermons are nothing more than philosophy and psychology. Ideas and opinions that, yeah, may be good if you want to have a good day at work tomorrow, but have no substance, no weight, no eternal value. I want to know what God's Word says. I don't want to get to that final exam and realize I read the wrong textbook. I want to know, "Thus saith the Word of the Lord." There's a church in this county that lost 25 members recently. And you know what the debate was about? When we should take, at what time of the day should we take the Lord's Supper? Should it be in the morning? Should it be in the evening? They've tried to calculate their calendars and their time frame and their schedules to make sure they do it at sundown, and they want to do it at the exact moment. But that same church can't open up the book and read that homosexuality is wrong. Isn't that amazing? It's a paradox to me. That same leading preacher cowed down concerning the issue of abortion. I'm for taking the Lord's Supper and I'm taking for communion, but the Bible doesn't tell us when to take it. So it's an idea or an opinion. But the Bible does give me some ideas and principles and convictions and things that do not change. And homosexuality or abortion are things that we don't have to be confused about, because the Bible speaks explicitly, abundantly, and eternally clear. Even though society changes, even though America changes and maybe gets farther away from what we were founded upon, God's word is still relevant. God's word is still the final authority. Amen. We are a Christian nation, and we did not get here by following the teachings of Buddha or Muhammad. Amen. And we're in a society now, amen, where you can be saved worshiping anybody or anything. But friend, God's word, amen, is the foundation of our nation. And as we look to the original intent of God's word, it shows us God's person. It shows us God's power. It shows us the plan of God and the promises of God. Amen. It is God's original intent. Amen. That shows us that there is a holy God that does not wink at sin, that does not tolerate sin, that hates sin so much that he sent his only son to a cross of Calvary, that shed his blood. Amen. Buddha did not do that. Muhammad did not do that. They established followings and enjoyed the applause of people. Gandhi did not do that. Although he served in a humanitarian way of helping people, but it was only Jesus that was born of a virgin, that had no sin in his life, that was a sinless substitute, that was qualified to redeem all of mankind. He didn't die just for America. He didn't die just for Canada. But his word said that whosoever will, that calls upon the name of the Lord, the same shall be saved. That God loved us so much that he turned his back on his only begotten son. And there Jesus hung suspended between two worlds. As the life left his body and the blood coursed the ground and the needles pierced his skull, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. But one dying thief began to believe in Jesus, and he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And now for the last 21 centuries, amen, there have been boys and girls, men and women, that have begun to call out on the name of the Lord, and the blood of the Son of God, the blood of my Savior, amen, has caused their sins to be washed away. Amen. Friend, I'm telling you something. Amen. The reason we know that is because of God's word. We were not there at Calvary. We were not there at Golgotha to see it. But God said that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
inheritance. I said that's in his word. His word says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. It's in his word. His word says that the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Amen. Where do we get the idea of a substitutionary death? It's in his word. Where do we get the idea that we can avoid hell? It's in his word. Where do we get the idea that there is a heaven that we're going to? Because it's in his word. And friend, oh hallelujah, even the eyewitnesses, the very people that hated Jesus, the critics, and those that denied him as he lived, have not stopped the marching of the word of God. The truth of Jesus Christ, it marches on through sickness and turmoil. I'm glad for God's holy word today, aren't you? Why don't we just lift a hand toward heaven and say, thank you, Lord, for his word. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. It'll settle any issue. You want to know what God expects out of your life? It's in his word. Well, here's what I believe. I don't care what you believe. What does the word say? Well, here's what I think. Here's what I postulate. I don't care about your suppositions. What does God's word say? Amen. It is the word of God. Amen. And it's amazing that we have relegated his Bible and his word to some kind of secondary position. And we've elevated all kinds of education and theologies above his very own word. Amen. God, help us today. Amen. Let's go back to the word. Amen. Let's get back into God's holy word. That in this day of erroneous doctrine and in this day of pantheistic religion where we're all going to heaven together, I got news for you, friend. Amen. On the authority of God's word. Amen. I'm not casting stones at anybody, but God's word says there's only one way to be saved. There's only one way to the Father, and it's through Jesus Christ. That there is no other name given under men whereby men must be saved. I said it's the name of Jesus. Amen. I'll preach salvation to them, but if they're believing in Mary to get them there, Mary cannot get them there. If they're believing on Muhammad to get them there, they're not going to the same heaven. If they're believing on Buddha to get them there, they're not going the same place I'm going, because Jesus died upon a lonely hill. He died upon a cross and he shed his blood that you and I would leave the darkness of sin, to leave the falsehoods of this world and believe on him and be saved. Hallelujah to Jesus. Lift up your voice and say, Jesus saves. Preach it on the street corner. Sing about him. Witness about him. Jesus saves. And without Jesus, we're all dying lost and going to hell. My wife and I invited a lady to church yesterday. She's 52 years old. Has not been in a church, a Catholic church. Was the last church she was in when she was 12 years old. 40 years she's not been in church. I'd love for her to come to the house of the Lord. Amen. It's not because of anything. Amen. She's probably got issues like you and I do. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus. Amen. Jesus can save her. And the church needs to come down off of that place. Well, we're saved now. Let's just sit here till Jesus comes. Or worried about getting a position in the church. Oh, God, there's 6 billion souls alive on planet Earth. And I don't know where America, amen, began to go down this wayward road. Amen. But God, amen, take us back to our roots in a nation built upon God, in a nation that exalted the word of the Lord. And hear me now, I'm not a politician. I don't care who you vote for in some respects, but I guarantee you, I'd never vote for a man that can't put his hand on the Bible Bible and saying, God, I pledge I'd never vote for a man that couldn't cross his heart and pledge allegiance to the flag. I'm telling you, America is on the precipice of disaster. Amen. She is teetering, tottering with the collapse of a superpower. We have existed longer as a superpower for one reason. It is not our money. Saudi Arabia, they've got more money. It is not our education. It is not our philosophy. It is because there are churches of men and women that are born again and filled with the Spirit of God, and this nation was blessed by God Himself. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. God help us today. His original intent, His word, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin. Jeremiah said His word is a hammer . Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Lord, it's a dark day. I don't know what to do. I tell you what to do. Get out His word. And in the darkest of days, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light under my path. The other night we were in the woods playing hide and go seek, and they had some flashlights. Boy, in the darkness of night, it's amazing what a little old dollar flashlight can do. I mean, they'd be a long ways away, but they turned that light on because they'd be getting scared, making sure nothing was getting around, and I knew where they were. I knew where they were in the darkness of night. Now, if I turn that flashlight on right now, you'd say, man, go get your money back. It hardly anything. But when that canvas of darkness enveloped those woods, that light began to pierce that darkness. I'm going to tell you, friend, amen, I see some of the darkness prevailing around this world. But I got to be completely honest with you today. I'm not perplexed. I am not discouraged. I am not confused. I'm not wayward. I'm not beat down about it. I've opened up God's word, and His word is a radiating light in the midst of darkness. I know in whom I have believed. Nothing happens without His permission, and whatever happens in this world is temporary anyway. I'm headed to a city where the Lamb is a light. I said I'm headed to a better place. I'm headed to see Jesus. And what a day that's going to be when my Jesus I shall see. I tell you, if you're discouraged, get in God's word. You're depressed, get in God's word. Amen. You're trying to decide which way to go, get in God's word. Peter talks about it being water. It'll wash you clean. Yes, it will. It'll wash you clean. The Bible talks about it's like a fire. Shut up. What was Jeremiah talking about? I'm not going to preach anymore, he said. Turn in my credentials. But the mayor in the midst of that dungeon, thy word, it's like a burning fire shut up in my bones. Oh, that was God's original intent, that this is not another book to sit on a shelf. It's not just one of books. It is the book. It is the textbook for the exam. Let me ask you this morning. If God passed out the final exam today, how do you do? Or would you have that sinking feeling I did halfway through that exam? I have no idea. I don't want to be
surprised on that great day.
It's a different day in America. My children are growing up in a different world than I grew up in. It's different. The very bedrock, the very fiber of our society is unraveling. The institutions of family and marriage are not what they once were and probably never will be. But where did marriage come from anyway? Before the church and before government settles all issues. The Bible is not politically correct. It's right. It didn't intend to be politically correct. It's right. It does not seek both sides of an issue. It gives you the answer.
It's like that one fellow said, well, I don't know if that's churches. He had visited somewhere and said, I don't know if that church is for me. I said, you don't need to decide that. You just need to get in the book. Because right now you're looking for a church that fits you, and you don't even fit the book yet. Let's exalt God's word. Even at the end of your Sunday school quarterly, every weekly, is the Bible passage reading for this week. I challenge you, open up your quarterly. Read the Bible verses for this week. You'll end the book of Leviticus. You'll start into the book of Numbers. You'll go on into the book of Mark. Read it. This book is alive. It's seeds that plant in your heart that come forth after the rain of the Holy Ghost. It's milk. It's meat. It's bread. It's food for our life. It's precious metals. It's gold. It's silver. It's a sword, Paul told the Hebrews, that divides to the very deepest part of our soul. God's original intent. Let's get back to it. Would you stand with me this morning?